कीर्तन। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे, निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। नमो महावेदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते, कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्या नामने गौरहत्ये नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते, गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी, वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च, पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद, श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंदा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are reading chapter 3 and today we'll try to discuss text 36 and 37. So chapter 3 is entitled as Karm Yoga. So in the beginning of every chapter I try to give a kind of a bird's eye view, what is the overall content of this particular chapter. So anybody remember what is the acronym we use for chapter 3 to understand the whole flow of this chapter? Nobody remembers? It's been a long time, right? 2 months. You remember? Okay, starts with T. Now any hints?
Tree.
Good. At least somebody remember now. So the acronym used for chapter 3 to understand the whole flow of the chapter we use as TREE. T-R-E-E. So the whole flow of this chapter 3, how it connects with the previous discussion. So basically Bhagavad Gita is a continuous discussion, right? It's a continuous dialogue between Lord Krishna and Arjuna. So Arjuna asks question, Lord Krishna answers. So when Lord Krishna spoke originally Bhagavad Gita, it's a continuous dialogue and later on it was split into chapters, right? When Vyasadeva compiled it as part of Mahabharata. So the Bhagavad Gita was split into chapters based on the content of discussion. So the chapter 2 has 72 shlokas, which is summarized, it's titled as Contents of Gita Summarized, Gita Ka Sar. Because there Lord Krishna first went over as a brief summary of all various topics. And then Arjuna opened up a question and Lord Krishna went with more detailed discussion of various things. So like that all the chapters are divided, all set of shlokas are divided into chapters. So the chapter 3 is called Karma Yoga. So it opened up with Arjuna's question. And Arjuna's question was, If you think knowledge is better or jnana is better, why you want to engage me in this ghastly warfare? Let me renounce everything, go to the forest, practice spirituality. Why you want to engage me in this warfare if knowledge is better? So the first part of this chapter, T, means tyag, renunciation. So the first set of verses is opening with Arjuna's question, let me just renounce everything, let me go to forest, live like a mendicant, why to fight this war? Let me give up everything. Because when people relate knowledge as or jnana as a renunciation of giving up the activity. So you thought, knowledge is good, as what Krishna described in chapter 3 a little bit, and he thought, let me give up everything, go to forest. And Lord Krishna replied, it's not about artificially renouncing everything. It's more than renouncing the activity, it's about renouncing the result of our activity. So this is how the chapter starts, the discussion starts as renunciation. What is the real meaning of renunciation? And then the next part of the chapter is the different yoga process Krishna explains. From Karma Kanda to Karma Yoga to Jnana, a brief synopsis it goes. So it's the second part is called the rugs of yoga ladder. Okay, the rugs of yoga ladder. So that's TR. That is the next part. And in that Krishna explained, we need to perform yajna. We need to perform the sacrifices. And what is the real meaning of yajna? Again, the meaning of yajna is, we relate to yajna as something fire sacrifice, and we offer some oblations in the fire sacrifice. That is yajna. But what is the real meaning of yajna? Yajna is duty. In one sense, it's austerity or giving up something. So, and as human beings, as living entities, we are bound to perform some yajna. For whatever we receive from the nature, we are supposed to give something back. So that is performance of yajna. And what is our duty? To satisfy all the higher living entities, the Devi Devatas. So that is text 3.9 onwards to 3.15. It goes as rugs of the yoga ladder. And then comes TRE. The first E is exemplary. So Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, be exemplary. Even though you may be situated on a higher platform, but to set an example for others, just perform your duty. And as a Kshatriya, your duty is to participate in this war. You cannot just give up your duty as a Kshatriya, as a military general, and run away. And people will not speak good words about that, oh, Arjuna is so compassionate, he is just leaving and going away everything. They will call bad names to you. So the third part of this chapter is be exemplary. And then the next part of the chapter, which we are starting today, is the next E. So TREE. So the last letter stands for enemy of the soul. So tyag, rungs of the yoga ladder, be exemplary, and then enemy of the soul. This is the flow of the chapter, to remember what is all covered in the chapter. So we'll discuss those two verses. It again opens as Arjuna's question. So far Arjuna has asked four times question. And this is the fifth question he's asking throughout, as of now, till now. So first his statement was, it was not more than a question, it was just as a conclusion. I don't want to participate in this war. That was when Arjuna first gave his conclusion. And then his question came up as, what is the symptom of a sthita pragya? How does he sit? How does he walk? How does he act? How does he conduct himself? What are the symptoms of somebody situated in self-realization? And then the next question come up in the opening of third chapter as, why you want to engage me in this war if knowledge is better? Let me renounce everything and go away. And this is the next question coming up. So we'll read this verse. And Arjuna Uvacha. So everybody can repeat after me. And then we'll recite the whole verse. So we'll go few words at a time. Arjuna Uvacha.
Arjuna Uvacha.
अथ केन प्रयुक्तो अथ केन प्रयुक्तोऽयम् पापं चरति पुरुषः अनिच्छान् वाश्रणेय बलादेव नियोजितः अथ केन प्रयुक्तोऽयम् पापं चरति पुरुषः अनिच्छन्पि वाष्णेय बलादेव नियोजितः अथ केन प्रयुक्तोऽयम् पापं चरति पुरुषः अनिच्छन्पि वाष्णेय बलादेव नियोजितः Anybody from Prabhu's, if they will write to recite the verse? Anybody?
Athakena prayuktoyam papam charati purushaha anichana pivashneya bala divaniyojitaha.
From Mataji's side, anybody?
Athakena prayuktoyam papam charati purushaha anichana pivashneya bala divaniyojitaha.
Okay, thank you. So the translation. Arjuna said, O descendant of Rishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? So Arjuna is asking the question, and his question is very general question. It applies to all of us. He is asking the question, why what is somebody forced to act sinfully, right? Or is impelled to act sinfully as if by force. Sometimes we don't want to act in certain way, but we end up doing something which is in one sense is wrong, and we think it as if somebody is forcing us to act in that way. Happens? Right? So it's a very relevant question for everybody, and Arjuna is asking the same question. So what is that entity which forces us to act? And Lord Krishna will answer in the next verse and in a next set of verses till the end of this chapter actually. And he is going from various angles. So first he tells the answer as is, like, what is the enemy? And then if you know the enemy, where to find that enemy so that we can curb that enemy? And what is the effect of that action which we perform as if by force? And how we can cure that, or how we can remove that enemy. So this is how Lord Krishna will answer in next set of verses. So we'll read the next text also, then we will start discussion. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kamesha Krodesha, Raja Guna Samudbhavaha, Mahashano Mahapapama, Vidyenmahi Varinam. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kamesha Krodesha, Rajo Guna Samudbhava, Mahashano Mahapapma, Vidyenmahi Varinam. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kamesha Krodesha, Rajoguna Samudbhavah, Mahashno Mahapapma, Vidyenam Ihavarinam. Anybody from Prabhu's? Amrit, you want to try? Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Kama.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
శ్రీ భగవాను వాచ
శ్రీ భగవాను వాచ
కామేశ క్రోధేశ
కామేశ క్రోధేశ
రజోగుణ సముద్భవ
రజోగుణ సముద్భవ
మహాసానో మహాపాప్మా
మహాసానో మహాపాప్మా
విద్యేనం ఇహ వైరిణం
విద్యేనం ఇహ వైరిణం మాతాజీ సై
శ్రీ భగవాన్
వాచ కామేశ క్రోధేశ రజోగుణ సముద్భవ మహాసనో మహాపాప్మా విద్యేనం ఇహ వైరిణం. ద సుప్రీమ్ పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ సెడ్, It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, and which is all-devouring, sinful enemy of this world. So the first was Arjuna's question, what is that which impels us to act sinfully as if by force? And in single statement, Lord Krishna's answer is, it's lust only, which later transforms into wrath, anger, and it is because of the contact with the mode of passion, and this is the all-devouring, all-sinful enemy of this world. Right. So now we want to open our discussion, so rather than me giving his lecture this time, for a change we decided to go other way. So we'll do as discussion, so everybody has a chance to share their viewpoint, right? So it's not as a passive listening only, it's active participation. So first of all, we all agree with that Arjuna's statement, right? It happens with us. Do we feel sometime that we end up acting in a way which we really did not want to act, but we ended up acting in that way? And we lost the control on the our feelings, our emotions, our reactions, our surroundings. It's true? And anybody want to give any scenario? Okay, let's do two from, or at least one from Mataji's side, one from Prabhu's side. How about that? And if, mention one scenario where it happened with you, right? Same way, one from Prabhu's side. Who would like to go first?
It happens quite often when we talk to our kids and the kids are not listening to us, and then you kind of raise your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And you do not want to lose your team, but you end up doing that.
Yes.
And after that, you kind of, after a few minutes, then you realize that
what
you
did
were
I do?
Not in control of that situation.
Right. And so this is very often. This happens with most of us, maybe all of us, right? That you want kids to behave in certain way, and when they don't listen, we lose our temper and we maybe yell at them or say some wrong words or punish them. Even sometimes people go up to the level of physical punishing, and then few minutes later we come back to our senses. What did I do, and why did I do this? And we start lamenting afterwards. So it happens as if by force. And this is, here it's anger, right? And anger has the, Krishna uses the word lust here. What is the meaning of lust? What is our understanding of the word lust?
Strong desire, negative sense.
Okay, so strong desires. Anybody else? When we say the word lust, sometimes people relate it to maybe sexual attraction, right? The English word lust mainly means with that. But the Sanskrit word uses kama, right? And the Vedas use this word kama very often. And the word kama doesn't mean only as a sexual attraction. The word kama means all sort of desires. Strong desires. It can be desire for wealth, desire for name and fame, desire for control, and desire for sexual attraction also. So it covers all aspect. So people have strong desires, right? They want to make a lot of money, enjoy the material opulence, engage in sense enjoyment. And then there is a lot of desire for name and fame. Is that true? Sometimes people want to make it big in the society. I want to be popular. People should know who am I. And then the desire for controllership. Actually, no field is spare from this, for the sense of desire of controllership. It can be politics, or it can be even spiritual field also. There are so many sadhus, so many so-called gurus, which get entrapped with this particular sense of controllership, sense of name and fame, desire for name and fame and making it big, controlling the lives of others. And then, of course, the sexual attraction, that's the biggest chaos in the society. So Krishna uses lust first, and then it goes to anger. And lust is desire. And we can say desire in sense of expectation also. Right? Expecting something, or expecting kids to behave in certain way, that is also a desire. Is that right? So that is also one sense of desire, one sort of desire, that we want the kids to act in a certain way. We have certain expectations from them. And when that expectation is not met, when our desires are frustrated, it immediately turns into anger. And actually this particular topic, which we are discussing now from third chapter, it relates back to second chapter, text 62 onwards. So let me read that verse, so we can relate the connection there. So there, Lord Krishna already explained the whole flowchart of fall down. How the fall down happens. 62. Chapter 2, text 62 and 63. This is the whole flow process explained, how the living entity fell. Dhyayato vishayan pumsa sanghas teshopajayate sanghat samjayate kama kamat krodho bhijayate krodat bhavati sammoha sammohat smriti vibhramaha smriti vibhrashat buddhinasho buddhinashat pranashyati. So what happens here is dhyayato vishayan pumsa. So it starts with contemplation. When we keep contemplating on certain object for enjoyment, as we keep contemplating on something, what happens? We develop attraction for that, right? We get strong desire to get that object. You keep contemplating on something. Oh, I want to buy this particular car. You get some sort of attachment to that. And then you want to get that car, buy that car. So, dhyayato vishayan pumsas, sanghas teshopajayate. So attachment develops. And when attachment develops, what happens? Sanghat sanjayate kamaha. When attachment develops, then the desire to get that object becomes stronger. Sanghat sanjayate kama, kamat krodho bijayate. And when that desire to get that object is not fulfilled, it turns into anger. So there are two aspects. When we have strong desire for something, if your desire is fulfilled, that's also another aspect. So if the desire is fulfilled, what happens? More, more, more. Oh, this time I got this, I would like to get it more. I would like to get it more. So it turns into, if the desire is fulfilled, it turns into greed. And if the desire is frustrated, then it turns into anger. So kamat krodho bijayate, krodat bhavati sammoha. So when anger comes, the person is illusioned. Hypnotism. We use the sammoha. Sammoha, what is the word of sammoha? Hypnotism, kind of. Somebody is controlling us. So we lose our control. It's as if somebody else is controlling us. So we have already been hypnotized in one sense. Krodat bhavati sammoha, sammohat smriti Vibhramaha. So when somebody has hypnotized us, he is fully controlling us. We have lost our memory. We don't remember anything. So we will do if whatever somebody else is telling, whoever is hypnotized us. So anger has controlled us. Now we do whatever anger is making us do. So we have lost our memory. And when memory is lost, Smriti Bhimrashad Buddhi Nasho. When memory is lost, when remembrance is gone, we lose our intelligence. And by losing intelligence, Buddhi Nashat Pranashyati. When we lose our intelligence, we fell in the trap of all this illusion. We fell down. So this is the same thing what Lord Krishna is answering again in third chapter, which he has already explained briefly here. So he is telling the main reason of or our biggest enemy is kama, the desire, the strong desire for making big in this world, strong desire for enjoyment, strong desire for name and fame, or somebody's strong desire for opposite sex. So this all falls under lust. And when lust is unsatisfied, it turns into wrath. And when we fell in trap of wrath, we have completely lost our control. So in Hindi, actually, there are two words used in scripture when they mention about somebody becoming angry. If you read the words carefully in Sanskrit, it will be mentioned in two ways, depending on how it happened or what really happened. So one thing is gusse hona. Another thing is gussa karna. There's a big difference. Okay? To become angry, the second thing is to exhibit anger. Just with the words, can you explain the meaning? What do you understand with these two words? Gussa karna or gussa hona? What is the difference? What do you think? Yes, Mathil. Yes, you want to say something?
Gussa karna, exhibit means you show it. Dikhta hai gussa, kisi ke upar gussa karna, aur gussa hona matlab you don't show it.
To some extent it's okay, but it's not really okay. It's not really the complete understanding. So gussa karna or gussa hona? Anybody from Prabhu's side?
So I think gussa karna, like I think you're not internally impacted by it, but you're just showing anger just to control the situation.
Yes.
Gussa hona is like you are internally agitated.
Right. So very good. Gussa karna, gussa hona. Gussa karna is you are still in control. You are externally exhibiting anger. Let's say sometime parent as a duty may show anger on the child externally to correct the child, but they are in control. Okay, how much to kind of scold them, right? What to say. So you are fully in control, but externally you are showing anger. So exhibiting anger, gussa karna. Gussa hona, you are under the control of anger. You have completely lost your control. You don't know what to say. You don't know how to react. That is gussa hona. So, in scriptures, there are a lot of examples where somebody exhibited anger, but they completely in control how to react. So, later on, Krishna will explain actually how to... So, these are the natural tendencies. The desire for enjoyment, even the sex desire, and the anger. These are also natural characteristic of the living entity. But how to utilize that in a religious way? So that will be explained later. So when we come to that point, then we'll discuss more as examples from the scripture. So here the main point is we get under control of desires and anger. But how does it happen in first place? How does the desires arise? How do the desire arise in first place?
Coming in contact of mode of passion.
Coming in contact of mode of passion, yes. So, how these different desires or the lust arise? So, in Sanskrit, there are two words. Okay, one is prema, other is kama. originally as a living entity, our natural position is to love God. So that is prema. So when the living entity is in contact with the Supreme Lord in the spiritual world, everything is experiencing the love of God. But when we fell down into the material world, that love gets transformed into kama. The love for God transforms into enjoyment in this material world. And that the sense of enjoyment becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And it turns into all these various aspects for enjoying in various ways. So this is how it originates in first place. The prema transforms into kama. The love transforms into lust. So how it comes? Because of the contact with the mode of nature, especially with the mode of good passion and ignorance. And how does the desires evoke? How does the desire really enter into our heart?
We go to a store, like go to a Best Buy.
Okay.
See a TV.
Hmm.
So how the TV shows, and then we feel like this is, we start liking it.
Yes.
So how it starts.
One reason the desires enter into our heart is by seeing something, right? Somebody shows something, and this social media these days is bombarding everywhere. This thing, you can enjoy this way. You get this thing, you will enjoy. You get that thing, you will enjoy. It's a car or the cell phone or the TV or the different variety of food or the vacation package or different things. So everywhere social media is bombarding all these things. And when we see all these things and we think, yeah, this is how I can enjoy. And then by seeing others doing certain way, right? Oh, they are doing like this and they are looks like enjoying. If I also do like that, I will enjoy. So in the movies, what happens? This is all what is shown in the movies. You see any Hollywood movie or Bollywood movie, hero and heroine, they are enjoying in a certain way. They are going on a different places, singing a song, roaming around different things. And the person who is watching thinks, so, if I also do this way, I will enjoy. I should go on vacation like this, on a honeymoon package or this thing or that thing. And all these desires enter this way. Somebody is drinking, shown in the movie, and seems like, oh, he is enjoying, he is free from all the troubles of life, he is getting relaxed by drinking. And the person who is watching thinks, oh yeah, if I do this, I will be able to enjoy, my problems will be gone. Somebody is smoking, shown on the screen, and the person feels, oh, if I do this, yeah, this is very nice, I will be able to enjoy. So all this social media, the movies, and you name anything, right? The Facebook, Instagram, this, that, everything is filled with this. Facebook, what happens on Facebook? How many of you are on Facebook? It's a big time waster, first of all. And on Facebook, everybody is putting their photos to show to the world, I am very happy. And internally, everybody knows how happy I am. But we want to show to the world, see, there's nobody like me. I am the happiest person in the world. And every day people will put their photos of eating lunch or going on vacation, going in mall, buying something, going on some vacation, kids performing something, will put their photos immediately. So we want to make big in the world. Everybody should feel, I'm so happy. I'm enjoying so much. But really, internally, everybody knows their situation. I don't have to mention.
WhatsApp shows the real situation.
So every day, people spend so much time trying to make big in the world. Completely under illusion. So, when we see something, we get attracted with that. And when we see others doing something, that desires enter in our heart. What is the other way? How the desires Let me use the word wake up as a hint.
Yeah, we are actually spirit souls, but we are always acting as we are the body. So therefore, we need to nourish this body. We need to look good because we have to take care that way.
Okay.
So everything is, we want to have a car to give us bodily comforts, bigger house. So always associating with the body, and that's why the lust and the desire.
Yes. So we have to maintain ourselves. That is true. But maintaining ourselves is one aspect, if we can understand, right? How much I really need to maintain myself. But rather than in the loop of maintaining ourselves, we get into the loop of controlling and over-enjoying. But my point was still different. How the desires awake in the heart.
Association.
That is, we already mentioned in the first step. Association. When we see something, somebody else doing certain way, right, that desire wake up.
Comparison,
yes, that is part of that. Comparing with others. Oh, he is doing this way, let me also try to do that way. What else?
By hearing,
yes. So, various senses basically. By seeing, by hearing, by coming in touch with something, the desires wake up. The other aspect, how the desires again wake up, is our mind is the storehouse of various experiences. We have done something in the past, right? So right now, something may be in the sleeping condition in the mind. Some thoughts may be in the sleeping condition. But when we see something, the desires again wake up. Oh, I used to enjoy this way earlier. Or I did this at that particular time in this way. And I was very happy doing this. So, when will I do it again? When can I do it again in that same way to get enjoyment again? So, our mind is the storehouse of the thoughts, of the experiences. And those experiences again wake up by certain coming in touch with certain things. Any examples? Should be very easy.
I usually get that by looking at the food here. So I'm getting like, oh yeah, I'm at home, I'm having vada pav, it's a very good food. It's like, I enjoy that food when I'm at home.
Yes, good example. So, it's very common, right? We have experience, oh, I tasted that food, it was so nice. At that particular restaurant, oh, their food is very nice. So, when will I go there next time? And we may be planning, making plans. Oh, that holiday, I will go there, enjoy the food. Or this Sunday, I will ask my wife to cook this particular food for me. And then when the wife doesn't cook it, we get angry. Right? That whole sequence starts, the loop starts. So, we have the desires, or the desires wake up in our heart by seeing something, by watching others doing something, by seeing the advertisement, promotion of certain thing, or in our subconscious mind itself, based on our previous experiences. But even though the desire comes to enjoy, our senses are very limited. Even though somebody wants to enjoy, but can we enjoy to the fullest extent? Can we enjoy to the fullest extent? If you tell me, I like vada pav, right? And I give you the world's best vada pav. And I give you a full tray of vada pav. Keep eating. Will you be happy? No? Why?
Because there is a limit. One or two.
Yeah, so there is a limit. The senses has a limitation. How much you can really eat. Even though it may be your best food you like, but our senses are limited. You will eat 2, 3, 4, 5 at the most. After that I say, eat one more. You will say, no, I cannot eat one more. If I eat one more, I will vomit. Right? So our senses are limited. So even though you get what you like, it is up to your liking, still you cannot enjoy to the fullest extent. There is limitation. And there are various aspects actually. One aspect is you may not even get what you want. Right? It's not that you always get what you want. Sometimes kids in the morning going to the school, they will tell mom, in the afternoon when I come back, I want pizza. And when you come back home, pizza is not there. It's dal chawal. Eat dal chawal. And what is the reaction immediately? Anger. Desire is not fulfilled, transforms into anger. Right? And let's say you got what you wanted. There is another aspect. So you got what you wanted, but it is not to your up to your expectation.
Then we'll get angry.
What kind of pizza is this? Right? So it's not up to your expectation. So again, desire is frustrated. And if you get what you want, it is up to your expectation. Still you have limitation how much you can enjoy. So in this world, there is no way we can completely satisfy our desires. And even if you ate once, you satisfied your desire at one time. Later on it will come again. So that's why Krishna says it burns like fire. The desires are never satisfied and they burn like fire. So if you want to control the fire or pacify the fire, what do you do? If you have to put down the fire, what do you do?
Find something alternative.
Find something alternative? Okay, so to put down the fire.
Extinguish it.
Extinguish it. How do you extinguish it?
Impossible.
If you, to extinguish the fire, if you start pouring few drops of ghee at a time, will it extinguish the fire? It will burn more and more. Right? So, but in our efforts to satisfy these desires, what happened? We try to enjoy a little bit at a time to satisfy our thirst, satisfy our hunger for that particular thing. But later on it will come again. Because you are putting the ghee in the fire. And the fire burns more and more and more. The desires will get more and more and more stronger. So the root cause is desires. And later on it transforms into anger, which is the biggest enemy in Krishna's words. Now, where to find this enemy? Let's say India-China war going on the border front. You want to find out where the enemy is hiding, where they have established their checkpoints, right? So there's some physical entity. You want to find out where the enemy is hiding, where their check posts are, so I can attack on that check post and destroy the enemy to win this war. So now for the lust, for the desires, for the anger, what are the check posts for these enemies? Is this a physical check post? It's hiding at a particular place and we can attack that one and destroy this enemy?
It's in the mind.
It's in the mind, okay. So Lord Krishna explains further where this enemy is hiding. What are the check posts for these enemies? And these are the senses, the mind and the intelligence. These are the hiding places for these enemy, known as lust, known as kama. Senses. That's obvious, right? Senses are the hiding places for this enemy. The eyes, the ears, the tongue, the hands, the smell. When you hear something, some nice music, immediately the desire comes to enjoy that. When you smell something nice, you want to get that. When you see something, you want to enjoy it more and more. When you taste the food, you want to enjoy that. So the desires enter through these senses. But then how about mind? How is mind the resting place or the hiding place for these?
mind controls the senses.
Mind controls the senses. So it should be other way. Mind should not let the desires enter. Right? Because mind is the storehouse of all the emotions. What is the job of mind? What is the job of the mind?
Accept and reject.
Accept and reject. Okay. So mind's function is thinking, willing and feeling. That is mind's function. And above the mind is intelligence. Actually, a lot of people cannot differentiate between mind and intelligence. But Krishna explained in Bhagavad Gita, there are two separate entities. Mind and intelligence. Mind's function is thinking, willing and feeling. Whatever thoughts come, that is because of the mind. Whatever desires evoke, that is because of the mind. Mind is proposing. You are doing some activity and mind is constantly bombarding with different thoughts. Our mind is restless. And above mind is intelligence. And what is the function of intelligence?
Controlling the mind.
Controlling the mind, yes. But what does intelligence really do?
Right way. Help you make a better decision.
Help you make a better decision. The function of intelligence is to make the decision. Or discriminate between the right and wrong. That is the job of intelligence. So the hierarchy is, the senses are the lowest. Above the senses is the mind. Above the mind is the intelligence. And above the intelligence is the spirit soul, the real living entity. That is the real hierarchy. And the scriptures give the analogy of a chariot. So one of the Upanishads that gives the complete analogy of a chariot. So as in a chariot, there are horses. So for example, assume there is a chariot with five horses. And on the horses, there is a rein on the horses, and the rein is in the hand of the charioteer. And in that chariot, there is a passenger sitting on that chariot. Now, the job of the charioteer is to hold on to that reins and control the horses, so the horses don't run anywhere and let you fall into the ditch. So that is the job of the charioteer, to control the reins. And reins are controlling the horses, and the passenger is peacefully sitting on the chariot going into the right direction. But if the charioteer loses control of the reins, he drops the reins from his hand. So the reins no more can control the horses, and horses are free to run anywhere in any direction. And the whole chariot is in a chaos situation. So that is the analogy to explain the living entity's position. So this body is like a chariot. And in the chariot there are five senses. The sense of hearing, smell, seeing, touch and taste. So these are like the five horses, the five senses. And these senses are to be controlled by the mind. And mind is the rein on these horses. And intelligence is the charioteer who is holding the reins. So intelligence is supposed to control the mind. Mind is supposed to control the senses. And the passenger sitting on this chariot, on this chariot of this body, is the living entity, the soul. So by utilizing this body is given to us, or all these senses, the mind and intelligence is given to us as a facility to attain the ultimate goal of life by utilizing this human form of life. So with our intelligence, we should control the mind, and with the mind should control the senses. But in a polluted state of consciousness, what happens? It becomes the other way, complete opposite order. The senses control the mind. So senses dictate to the mind, I want to enjoy in this way, so make arrangement for me. So the eyes, seeing the food, giving the signal to the mind, I want to enjoy, make arrangement. And the mind gives the signal to the intelligence. And then intelligence makes plan. how to utilize, how to arrange that particular thing. So with which intelligence we are supposed to control the senses, same intelligence we end up utilizing to serve the senses. So I spoke a lot, now it's your turn to give me example. When we utilize our intelligence to make plans, make arrangements to enjoy. Apart from food, something now.
I can give an example of getting up early, right?
Yes.
So you want to get up early and then like you want to do like all the daivakarya and everything, but then like the senses say like, okay, I'm fine, like I'm kind of enjoying, so it kind of detects to the intelligence that let me sleep for more time. Then like you kind of end up sleeping. So.
Yes. So how many of we end up putting the snooze button? Another 15 minutes, let me sleep more. Because the senses are giving the signal to the mind. And intelligence think, oh yeah, even if I get 15 minutes later, I will be able to finish up all my tasks before I need to go to work. Right? So the intelligence is making plans that, okay, I can cut down, maybe I will not shave today. Save 15 minutes, I can save, sleep 15 minutes more. Mataji's may think, okay, maybe I will, rather than cooking this particular item, I will shortcut, use Gits or something, cook something faster and save some time and let me sleep a little bit more. So the same intelligence with which we are supposed to control the senses, we utilize that intelligence to make plans to satisfy the senses. So coming to that particular lust portion, which is a big chaos for the society, right, as a sexual attraction. There are people in big positions who fell victim of that particular thing. And people lose the complete rational and utilize their intelligence, how I can enjoy, by hiding from others, right? Sometimes we may be thinking, oh, let me plan some way so other people will not know, but I will still enjoy. I will do something secretly and people will make plans. How I can do, when will I do, so that others will not come to know that I really did this thing. Any such example? See, examples reinforce our understanding. Any example?
You're saying like now how people misutilize their positions.
Misutilize the position or utilize their intelligence to make plans to enjoy, thinking others will not know. I will act so smart, so intelligent. I will do this thing which is wrong, but others will not know and I will be safe. So, the whole things of serial killer, the serial rapist, how they utilize their intelligence to commit the crime. Right? They will make plan. Here I will catch my victim. I will take the victim to this particular place, bind that victim there. I will commit the crime so the other person, the people will not know or the cops will not know. So people utilize so much of their intelligence for the wrong task, to commit the crime. So it's a complete reverse cycle. The intelligence should be controlling the mind and senses, but the senses become so uncontrolled, so much dictating, they completely take over the mind and intelligence. Right? And it happens with us also in day-to-day life. We know it's wrong, but we still think, oh, it's okay, let me just do it one time. One more time, one more time. It keep happening. Yes?
Travel on the road, there's a speed limit.
Yes.
But I'm personally, I never go 45, go 55. I think everything is going fine. Going fine.
And people use so much of different apps to detect the cop.
Yes.
You know, there are some apps available. If the cop is available within next 2 miles, this app will signal. Then I will be able to reduce the speed limit. Let me just go over 90. If I see a cop, something or something, I will reduce the speed. So what is this? This intelligence is making that plan. Isn't it? Any other example? And sometimes we think, no, I have full control on my senses. I will not be able to be the victim of the senses. You know, there is a very nice story from the scriptures. Vyasadeva, when he was compiling the scriptures, he mentioned in the scripture that for this particular lust, which is sexual attraction, he mentioned one should not even sit with next to one's mother or sister in so much close proximity, because the senses are so troublesome, it can arouse the feelings. And when Vyasadeva wrote this thing, there was another sage, Jamini Rishi. Jamini Rishi, what is the need to say such harsh thing or some in such like that way? There's no need to say it. It's understandable, the senses are uncontrolled, but what is the point to say in such detail? And he wanted him to be kind of removed, that detailed explanation. And Vyasadeva said, okay, I will make him realize. And Jamini Rishi was staying in his hut. And one night, it was raining, and there was a knock on the door of his hut. And as Jamini Rishi opened the door, there was a young woman standing on his door. And because it was raining, her clothes were wet. And Jamini Rishi saw that woman standing there. And woman said, I am coming from far away. I was going to a different place. I am lost in the village. It's night now. Can you please give me shelter? And Jamini Rishi said, No, I cannot give you shelter. I am staying here alone. And I cannot associate with woman. And that lady said, isn't it your responsibility to protect a woman? I know you are a sage. So I should be more protected with the sage rather than somewhere else. So why don't you give me protection as your duty? So Jamini Rishi said, okay, you can stay here. So he let her come inside. Okay, you can stay inside. I will stay outside the house, outside the hut. So you close the door from inside and I will be outside. And so the woman went inside. Jamini Rishi was staying outside. And as the time passed, midnight, this thought started coming into his mind. He had seen the woman in wet clothes, and that image is again and again popping up in front of his eyes, and his senses are becoming agitated. And he started knocking on the door. I want to enter inside. Please open the door. And the woman said, no, I cannot open the door. You told me not to open the door. And I am alone here. She said, no, open the door. I want to come inside. And he started proposing that I want to marry you, this, that. And when she did not open the door, he was so much agitated, he climbed onto the roof of the hut, jumped from the roof inside. And he started proposing again that please marry me. I want to marry you and you will be very happy with me. And the woman said, in our culture, there is a system that if you really want to marry us, you have to carry me on your back and go 7 times around your house. So Jamini Rishi said, yes, okay, I will do that. He was ready to do that. He kind of kneeled down and the woman climbed onto his back and he made 7 circles around his hut. And as he finished the 7 circles around the house and he got up, he saw Vyasadeva standing in front of him. And what was that? Vyasadeva was testing him. Vyasadeva came in the form of a woman to make the point that senses are so strong, it can take away the discrimination of a learned person also. So what we see, it really affects us. And this today's scenario is such degraded. It's showing all sort of nonsense thing, right? All the Bollywood movies, any song, anything. It's filled with what? Glamour, sexual attraction, all sort of nonsense thing. And more somebody watches that. All that takes effect in the heart. And persons start thinking, if I able to do that, I will be able to enjoy. And the whole consciousness becoming degraded and degraded and degraded. So Krishna is pointing out the places where this enemy is hiding. And one should endeavor to curb this enemy. Now my question to you. If you're living in the house, to protect your house from the thief to enter, what is the better scenario?
Lock your doors.
keep the doors locked, right? It's a more safer situation. If somebody think, that's okay, the doors are open, and if that thief tries to enter, I will try to push him out and close the door that time. What is better situation? Keep the doors locked or try to push the thief out and then close the door when somebody is already trying to enter? Keep the doors locked. So same way, if we really want to protect our consciousness from all this negativity, it's better to be careful what we see, what we hear, what goes inside our mind, what affects our consciousness and intelligence. Rather than once somebody has negative thoughts or all these junk things has already entered in our consciousness, then trying to clean the consciousness. Yeah, of course, we have to clean the consciousness anyways, because so much dust has already accumulated from so many of years of association with all these negative things. So we have to continuously clean it, but to protect it further, it's better to safeguard it. Another example. Do you constantly dust your house or dust after a few years when a thick layer of dust has accumulated? Every 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Okay. At least that's better rather than 2 years, 3 years. So one may vacuum the house every few weeks, right? 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So basically the idea is to constantly clean rather than letting the big layer of dust accumulate. So same way our consciousness. What happens with our consciousness? So much dust, so much negativity is entering in the consciousness on a regular basis. And we should be on guard to protect our intelligence, our consciousness on a regular basis, to clean it, to not, first of all, not let the dust enter, and if whatever dust is entering, to clean it regularly, right? And so how do we clean the consciousness? To clean your house, you may mop the house, you may broom the house, dust the house, but to dust our consciousness, is there a physical broom? You take a broom and hit on your head. How do we clean our consciousness, our intelligence?
Thinking about what might happen if you buy something. Like, imagine I buy a phone, it's worth $1,000. Today I might think it is very cheap and I'll buy it, but if I think in the other way that, okay, I have to pay $1,000 in like next few months, I might feel, okay, I don't have money, so that will let us reduce the desire to buy that phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that is we are working using our intelligence to think rationally, right?
Yes.
To be able to discriminate what is right and wrong. So, another point I want to stress here, sometimes when we use the word discrimination, people use the word discrimination in a wrong way. Why you want to discriminate? What is the need to discriminate? But discrimination is an essential element of the life. We need to discriminate between right and wrong. Otherwise, your life will be a chaos. So, discrimination is necessary, but not discriminating between people, discriminating between what is right for me and wrong for me. So discrimination is needed, and to discriminate we need to sharpen our intelligence. And how we sharpen our intelligence? There is no sharpener to sharpen your intelligence, like a pencil, right? What is the sharpener to sharpen your intelligence?
Experiences,
okay. So experience is good. But if you want to experience everything, you will say, okay, give me poison. I want to experience how the poison tastes. Is that a good proposal?
No.
So, you cannot experience everything in life. So, we have to hear from others. We have to learn from others' experience also. And the best source to learn is from the scriptures. So there are so many examples given in scriptures for various scenarios. Story of Ajamila. Ajamila once saw one obscene and he fell victim of that. And in modern society, all of us are Ajamila in one sense. Right? So much of vulgarity shown on the screen. If we see that, so much of those thoughts are entering the mind. So everybody is a Ajamila in that situation. So the story is there for some reason. To give us the experience rather than learning from our own experience. Here, read this thing and learn from this. So learning from the scripture, that is the best source of getting the education, getting the understanding. And the association. Association of devotees, that is the best source of keeping our consciousness clean. So as you will clean your house very often, so same way, we need to be in association of devotees to be on guard, right? To be able to stay on guard on a regular basis. So association doesn't mean once in a year on Janmashtami I come to temple and associate with devotees. Oh yeah, I'm very religious person. Bahut dharmik hu main to. Har Janmashtami pe mandir jata hu. Right? So it's not that sort of association. Association is regular association on a day-to-day basis, week-to-week. So we physically associate with each other, let's say once in a week, right? But you can associate with the teaching, with the message on every day. So utilizing the same technology to our benefit. So that technology can do the harm also, that technology can do the good for us. So like a doctor uses a knife to cure somebody, to treat somebody, and a robber can use the knife to harm somebody. So it's how we utilize that. So same way technology can fill our mind with garbage also, and same technology we can utilize to clean our intelligence also, clean our consciousness also. So there are so many resources where you can learn or listen to the lectures regularly. You can watch some Krishna conscious media rather than watching some nonsense things. So we can utilize the technology to our benefit. And we can associate with these teachings, with the message on a regular basis. How many of you read regularly? Only two? Reading Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, right? Not the Grashoba or all those sort of things. Not reading the novels and all that. So reading Bhagavad Gita, reading Bhagavatam, reading the scriptural books, reading Ramayana, Mahabharata. So that is regular association. And then hearing the lectures. How many of you rely on just coming to satsang once a week and just, okay, I heard 1 hour, I am done for the week? Or how many of you hear regularly?
Every day, but
yeah, so even spending 15-20 minutes, half an hour every day, right? It doesn't take much. If you're driving to your work, 15 minute commute, so you can just play something, listen to some lecture. Mataji is cooking at home, while cooking you can just play something and listen to something, and then it makes the food also better rather than going the negative thoughts in the food. The food is filled with positive thoughts, right? Something, good vibrations. Because food is very important aspect, how our consciousness is affected. Jasa anna vesa mana. Heard that? So what we eat, it affects our consciousness. While cooking the food, if somebody is thinking about some negative thoughts or something, some lusty desires, desires to enjoy in a certain way. So those desires, those feelings enter the food. And whoever eats the food is contaminated with those desires. So that's why whenever we eat the food cooked outside, if you eat the food cooked in a restaurant, sometimes you can immediately feel some negative desires entering the heart. It's because the cook who is cooking the food in the restaurant, you don't know what is his consciousness, how he is preparing the food. Was he in a fighting mood that time when he cooked the food? Was he suffering from some lusty desires that time when he cooked the food? And all those feelings have entered the food. And when you eat that food, you also get those same desires. This is a very nice story. I may have mentioned it earlier. Once one person, he invited few sadhus at his home. And he fed the sadhus nicely. Prepared nice feast and fed the sadhus. And as one of the sadhus is leaving the house of that person, somehow he got the desire to take the pot with him. So he somehow stole that pot, put in his that potli or something, whatever it is, right? And he carried it with him. As he went on the outskirts of the village, and he told his associate, his disciple, that somehow when I ate the food, somehow when we were leaving from the house, I was filled with this strong desire to carry this pot with me. And I stole this pot and kept with me. But now I'm feeling the guilt. So he gave the pot. Can you please go back and give this back to the person who invited us? And I want to find out why this strong desire, this negative feeling came inside my heart. So this person, this disciple went back to the house. And he asked this person that, what is your occupation? Say, I am a thief by profession. But I had the desire, somehow I got the desire to feed the sages. So when he was cooking the food, of course his nature, his desire entered the food, which affected the sadhu. But because of his strong sadhana, it did not affect him for a long time. And on the other side, as this person came back to return the pot, and when he was talking to the owner of the house, this person explained that as all the sadhus left, I ate their remnants of food, and somehow I got this desire, this feeling that whatever I am doing, it's all very negative work, I should give up my occupation. So he was filled with positive desires because of eating the remnants of food of the sadhus. So our consciousness is affected by what we eat. Jaisa ann, vaisa man. So we should be very careful. That's why if we really want to be serious in spiritual life, we should be careful of what we eat outside. We should not be eating outside as a restaurant food, because that affects your consciousness. That's why in Krishna consciousness, anyways, there are very limited sources if you can eat outside. No onion, garlic, and you should not be eating that, right? If you are a sincere practitioner. Plus another thing is, because if you understand the philosophy, then it becomes even more important that I should be careful not to eat outside. Unless I know the place very well, I know the cook very well. So we should be very careful. So the resting places of all these senses are all these senses, the mind and intelligence are the resting places. And we should be able to detect the enemy and guard our consciousness. And to be able to guard the consciousness, we need to be in the association of devotees to make our intelligence more stronger and stronger and stronger. Any example of power of association?
When we are associating with the devotees, you feel like doing more of the Krishna conscious things, you are inspired along with them. If they are reading too, you would also like to do that. If they are chanting, you would like to do that too. Attending the bhakti rikshas, you would like to come more.
Mm-hmm.
So, associate. And then I have noticed that. And then times when I have gone for some get-togethers who are non-Krishna conscious, the next day has been really kind of, I can feel the change literally.
Yes.
It's very overpowered.
You visit India for a few weeks, visit your family, relatives.
Yes.
You see the drop in consciousness immediately.
Yes,
right? After being in association of devotees, because when you are in the association of devotees, this desires come, oh, I should also do. So the consciousness of other people rub on us, right? Their desires rub on us. So sometimes actually in the passionate world, people use the sort of association as a dream building. Okay. Have you heard the word dream building? So what is that? The one person is speaking about big, 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 big dreams. And they utilize that to build the dreams for others. That, oh, you should also aspire for these things. You should aspire for this lot of money. You should aspire for big position. This, that. Big house. Your personal boat. Luxury cars. So when they are speaking about their desires and goals, others also get affected by that. And same way when you are associating with devotees, when we talk about, oh, we should listen every day, we should read every day, you should chant every day. So those things also affect on us. We also think, oh, maybe yes, I should also do this. So when you say, Prabhu, how many rounds are you chanting? And if Prabhu say, I'm chanting 16 rounds. Oh, wow. So tomorrow I should also chant more. Right? So those feelings, those desires affect us. So it's better rather than being affected by negative desires, passionate desires from others, it's better to be affected by the positive desires so that we can make progress in spiritual life too. That's the whole purpose of coming in association week after week after week, so we can charge our batteries. As you charge your cell phone every day, if you don't charge your batteries, what will happen? Every morning when you go to work, you are putting yourself in the hand of what? A witch called Maya. Right? So we are completely giving ourselves to that witch. And to be able to protect ourselves, we need to come back and immediately charge ourselves. Before you run out of your battery. How many of you have seen or played the game of Kabaddi? What is Kabaddi game? What is the game of Kabaddi? So you are saying Kabaddi, 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 and you go on the other side.
Yeah.
Right? You try to touch as many possible and return safe before you run out of breath.
Right.
Before somebody holds on to and you lose your breath. So every day this game of Kabaddi is going on with the material world. You go out in the zone of other party, right? And before you completely drained from your consciousness, positive consciousness, we need to come back on our side and again regain our breath before we run out of our breath. So this game of Kabaddi is every day you are playing the game of Kabaddi with the material world. So have enough breath first of all. To be able to have enough breath, do your sadhana in the morning. So catch a proper deep breath by doing your sadhana. You go outside, do your all duties in a proper state of consciousness. Before you run out of your breath, come back and associate again to regain your breath. So I will stop here for now and we'll continue this topic maybe next time. There's still a few more things to discuss about. Anybody has any comment or question before we close? Any question, comment, anything to add?
It was a good session.
Okay, thank you.
Interaction.
So you like this interaction session rather than just me speaking all the time, right?
Yes.
It will be better because then we all are more engaged, more focused, and we can share our understanding also. So this is why I'm thinking maybe from now onwards we'll do that more way as a more discussion format. Just prove any question, comment, anything to add?
Just one comment that mind cannot be desireless.
Mind cannot be desireless, yes.
Has to desire, or thoughtless also.
Yes.
Thoughtless.
Yes, of course. Okay. So Prabhu's point was mind, we cannot remove all the desires or thought from the mind. The desires and thoughts will stay. It's about channeling, right? Rechanneling our thoughts and desire rather than going on the wrong thoughts, wrong desires, aligning it with proper thoughts and desires. And we will discuss more what are that proper channel of thoughts and desires. Any other comment, question?
Are we using our intelligence here to channelize those thoughts?
Yes. And we will discuss with examples based on from the scriptures. What are the examples given? Right. So one of the example I will give right now. So when Pandavas were living in the forest for this 13 years of exile, 12 years of the forest time, 1 year incognito. So the early period of their exile, they went to Kuvera's garden. They went to the kingdom of Kuvera. They were living in the garden of Kuvera and there were abundance of opulences there. And there are a lot of facility to enjoy. And that time Bhima told everybody that we should not stay here, we should leave immediately from this place. Why? One may say, even though we are not in our palace, we lost the kingdom, but here still we have a lot of opulences to enjoy. So let's just stay here. And Bhima said, we should not stay here, otherwise we will lose the ambition of the big mission which stands in front of us. Right? will lose the that power to be able to fulfill that ambition, that mission. So that is they're utilizing the intelligence. So sometime the statement is you play now or pay later, or you pay now and play later. What is the difference in that? So you pay now, play later, or you play now and pay later. So in our daily life dealing, how it deals is you enjoy now and suffer later, right? You play now, pay later. So you can try to enjoy now, and you have to suffer the consequences later. Or now you can do the right thing. You have to go through maybe some austerities now, but the rewards will be multifold later. So you pay now and play later. So Bhima's consciousness was same way. He was utilizing his intelligence, thinking we should try to prepare ourselves now, go through austerities now for the big reward to come later. Right? So that is utilizing the intelligence. Okay. Any other? You were going to say something?
That today we learned the DJ, right? Same thing. Two weeks back, one of my friends, she asked me, what are you doing Saturday evening?
Hmm.
I am going to one satsang program. Satsang program Krishna.
Hmm.
That, something, that conversation was going on long. So, Krishna has here.
So people give that example, oh, Krishna is enjoying with so many. So first of all, why that thought comes is because of the envy, right? That, oh, somebody has so much to enjoy, I don't have even one, right? So I mean, it applies more on the male population side. So somebody says, Krishna has 16,108, I don't have even one. What kind of God is that? He is enjoying like that, right? So because of the envy, this thought come, why to serve Krishna? Sometimes people say, why to go to Krishna temple? Better we will give the money to something else. Why we should donate to the temple? I will give my money to somebody else or some other charity, some sort of this. Because of that, envy. Why should I give to Krishna? Krishna already has everything. Why he needs your money? It's not that Krishna needs our money. It's because of our benefit we need to give. Right? So that our consciousness becomes purified. Our karma becomes purified. It's not that Krishna is in need of our $1, $2. It's not that Krishna is in need of our one chapati or little sabji. It's because of our benefit we need to offer to Krishna. To purify ourselves, our consciousness, our senses. So we'll discuss that more in another later session also. Some more examples and all. Anything else? Do you have any thoughts, comments? No? Okay, so thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we can call all the kids also.